Thank you.
Thanks. I'll do a roll call for you, Michele. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's RRTP call on Tuesday, the 21st of December, we have Michele Nalon, James Bladel, Simonetta Bottega, Barbara Steele, Ollie Hope, Matt Serland, Bob Mountain, Barry Cobb, Chris Chaplow, and Neil George. From staff, we have Marika Konings and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies noted today from Paul Diaz and Mike O'Connor. If I could just remind you all to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. And Kevin Erdman has just joined the call as well. Thank you. Over to you, Michele.
All right. Thank you. Does anybody have any updates for their SOI / DOI? Are all the capitalists on the call still capitalists, or are all the non-capitalists still non-capitalists? Has anybody changed affiliation or done anything strange? I'll take that silence to mean no and move on. Okay, then. Most of you were either physically present or remotely present at our meeting in Cartagena, and I suspect quite a few of you were probably traveling for a few days on the way back, or took a little break along the way, et cetera, et cetera. So I imagine several of you only kind of got back into the swing of things late last week or whenever. So just there's a couple of notes there on the agenda just to go over what we had discussed in Cartagena. So if anybody has any other thoughts or whatever. Yes, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. If I can just highlight that in one of those bullet points in relation to the creation of the sub-team on the ETRP, there's a link included to a Doodle poll. I'll also send it out separately in case people haven't seen it. So all those that are participating in the sub-team or would like to participate in the discussion, if you can please fill out the Doodle poll so we can try to schedule a call early January. I did already develop like a short summary. Basically, it just takes the results of the survey that's now on the screen, just focus on the ETRP and just reorganize a little bit the different principles based on a level of support. But as you might have seen, I just sent out as well before the call an Excel sheet that Barry developed and greatly appreciated, which I think would be very useful as well for that sub-team's discussions, as it basically also identifies who disagreed on certain points, which might help the discussion as people then will be able to identify why they didn't agree or what they would like to see changed. So I think that will be a helpful tool for that sub-team.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. So everybody, key takeaway, there was actually a Doodle poll sent out with that. Now, Marika sent around a spreadsheet from Barry, which goes through a bit more of the answers to the last questionnaire we sent out. So, Barry, are you on the call? You are, aren't you? I think I saw you. James?
Hi, Michele. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, perfect. James, go ahead.
Hi, Michele. James speaking. And just a couple of questions or observations about the ETRP sub-team that I'm just... I was there in Cartagena, but I must have missed this point. But... Yeah, I think an observation would be that we have a very large number of the working group participants that are on the sub-team. So is it truly a sub-team, or is it just there's a few people that are just not participating voluntarily? And then the second thing is, you know, I hate to sound like a cynic, but a sub-team was how we got the ETRP draft in the first place. So what is it that this group is going to do differently in their approach that's going to... address some of the issues that we have.
Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think on the sub-team issue, I think we agreed that indeed it wouldn't be a real sub-team as a separate meeting and we'd use the general mailing list. But as you said, James, I think it's just some people that probably would opt maybe not to join that call. So we'll use the normal mailing list for those discussions and have probably then a second call. But that's, you know, people can opt out if they're not interested. On the other point, what I recall from the meeting is that some people wanted to take the opportunity now looking at the list of principles and seeing where people supported and where people disagreed, also looking at some of the other elements that were suggested to see if people could come up with a new approach that, you know, maybe would fall to a great extent the previous model, but hopefully fill in some of the gaps that people had identified in that model. But I also recall that some said, well, but if we don't manage that, then the alternative approach would be just to provide that list of principles and, you know, give that to an implementation drafting team to work that further out. That's my recollection. I don't know if others have a different recollection of the discussion.
I mean, the Marika was saying as well that we're going to review the transcripts and everything, but we hadn't been able to locate them when we were working on the agenda yesterday. I think you found them since then, Marika, have you?
Yes, that's correct. So I'll have a look through that as well to see if there's anything further in there, and we'll get that posted as well so everyone can have a look at that.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. Is that okay, James?
Yeah.
I'm trying to actually... I wish I could resize this thing. Okay, so just to review this. Okay, this sub-team, and I'll put that in inverted commas. So I'm using fingers here that you can't see, obviously. Principal task to develop a comprehensive proposal, but if this is deemed not feasible, may consider putting forward the main principles that should form an ETRP, not the ETRP, just an ETRP of some kind, which can then be further developed by an implementation drafting team. So far, the following members have volunteered. So we've got Barry, Barbara, Ollie, Bob, Mike Rodenbaugh. Oh, for God's sake, sorry, I'm going to turn this bloody thing off. Hanging up on me anyway. Yes. Mike Rodenbaugh, Simonetta, Matt, Paul, and Mikey. And there's a link then to the doodle poll that few people might have actually missed. Now, of course, my browser has now crashed, so I can't actually know. It's working. Okay, so... just bear me one second. My browser's being so silly here. So the idea, as Marika said, was that there might be an extra phone call and just a bit more kind of focused work on this, on the mailing list. Okay then, Barry, you went through and you did put things together in this Excel spreadsheet, which is. Could you just walk us through very quickly what you did there, so that we can actually understand what we're looking at?
Okay. Hi, Michaeli. This is Barry. So basically what I did, this is an exercise that we performed in another working group based on some survey results, and it just kind of reorganized a lot of the data so that hopefully we can make it a little bit more actionable and at least pick out the nuggets of information that we need to move forward. So essentially what I did is just took the raw data from the survey results that Marika had sent me, and then I created a series of tabs along the bottom of the spreadsheet divided by charter question. And so, for instance, for charter question A, there are actually 5 tabs that dissect all the various questions from the survey. And the intent here is just to try to put a little bit more granular view on the data so that we can find, I think Marika mentioned it well, but basically find the gaps in us achieving, almost full consensus on particular issues, et cetera, so that hopefully we can craft the right policy and move forward. I just looked at my spreadsheet, and I'm disappointed to see that somehow my pivot tables got destroyed or lost in the saving right towards the end. So, for instance, when you're looking on the first tab, charter question A1, that table that you see there that's just solid or plain black text, my pivot table got lost. So I'm going to go through and bold out some of the column labels and row labels so that it looks a little bit more clean, and my apologies for that. Some definitely Excel ghost thing that's going on here. So I'll send out a new version later today, so it's a little bit more easy to distinguish the agrees versus the could agrees or I don't agrees. And then lastly, I'll just conclude. So for each tab, basically the idea here, the way the survey was structured, it allows for us to combine the data, again, by charter question, but more specifically, one question would relate to another. So again, as an example, for charter question A1, we're comparing the third question is, do you believe there exists a need for an urgent return mechanism? And we compare those answers with those answers from question 4, and that talks about how the working group recognizes the need for a process. And anyway, it just starts to distribute the data out in a way, and for those areas that would cluster together, I would then pull out the comments by that particular survey respondent. And the intent here is that we kind of go through those responses and see how we can enhance our recommendations. So I don't think that it'd be good for us to review through the details of these results today. We should probably save it for our first call in January so that people have time to review through it. And then we can kind of deep dive through the information. The one last point that I'll make, I think the real golden nuggets here are the third and fourth tabs labeled charter questions, A-2, A and B, respectively. And the idea there is to consolidate each respondent's view of the different components that make up the ETRP that we know today. And there's basically two different views of the same information. The first view was just an order based on the raw data. And then the second view is just kind of, I'm always looking for trends. So the idea here was to organize the results or the responses in a way, kind of by a typical view per constituency or per stakeholder group. And if some of these assignments are incorrect, please let me know. I was kind of just going off of what we had on the wiki and or statements of interest. So if I need to adjust those, please do. Bottom line, I don't think that there's any, like, stakeholder party line from the results, so it really didn't boil down to much. But the idea is wherever you see white boxes, those are holes or gaps from us achieving 100% consensus on that particular concept. And the intent or the process is what we'll do is, you know, we'll start on the components that we do have 100% and say, yes, we all agree on those. And then as we move down to the right, we'll review some of the other attributes to ETRP and say, all right, well, we almost have 100% here. We're missing, one person said that it could be enhanced this way. Is this seem feasible? What can we do to try to make it 100% until we get to the end? So if you have any questions, ask them now or send them to me in an email. And like I said, I'll ship out a different version here sometime this afternoon that'll look a little bit more clean. Thank you.
Thanks. Anybody have any questions for Barry? No?
Chris here. No, not at the moment, just other than obviously to thank him for doing that. And I'm sure once we sift through it, it's a bit over-facing for me just at this moment, just seeing it for the first time, but I'm sure there's a lot of valuable information in there.
Okay. Yeah, so thanks, Barry. It's great that you've got the patience to do these things. Me plus Excel equals disaster, so I'm best kept well away from it. Sorry. Okay, moving on. Just moving on, further points there. consider adding a recommendation to endorse the ESSAC report and measures recommended in the report to prevent hijacking? Have you all had a chance to look, I'll rephrase that, is there anybody on this call who hasn't had a look at the ESSAC report to prevent on preventing hijacking? Or are you all kind of vaguely familiar with it? Okay, I'll take that as meaning that you all are familiar with it. Further review of transfer policy being used as a mechanism to change control of a domain name registration to be explored. Whether we should extend the weekly meetings or not. Any comments on any of this? No? Okay.
This is Barry. I'd just say that I hope that we do extend these out if we're still shooting for having our final report by March.
Was that Barry, was it?
Yes, I'm sorry, that was Barry.
Okay. Well, I think maybe if we can send out another doodle about the extending or not extending, because that was pegged on to the end of the poll, and I gather a couple of people missed that. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. As we're already scheduling now a second call, I mean, that might be an alternative approach, as we're already going for a sub-team or second call during the week. That might already give us additional discussion time, and maybe that's something then to continue for a while, or alternative indeed, extend one call and do that call longer. I guess that's what people prefer, but for January, we're now aiming to have two calls in the first week, basically.
Okay. Rob, go ahead.
I'd prefer two calls rather than a longer call, if that's an option.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else... Just quick straw poll of people on the call today. Could you give... If those of you are logged in to... the Adobe, how many of you would prefer a second call? I see one person in favor of that. I'll also put my own vote in there because Barbara says no. Kevin Erdman says yes. Rob Golding says yes. Actually, I managed to put my hand up instead of putting a tick. How many of you would prefer one call but make it longer?
Chris here. Michelle, I've got thrown off the internet. I would mildly prefer that, but I can go either way.
Okay. Okay, so Matt prefers longer, Barbara longer, James one longer. Ollie and Simonetta as well. Okay. So maybe we can argue about this further. Right. Sorry, my browser exploded. Oh, here it comes back again. My computer dies on Tuesday afternoons. In terms of the timetable, yes, Simonetta, you got a hand up. Go ahead.
The reason why I said I prefer a longer call is because I think we always take like 10, 15 minutes to warm up, and you don't have to spend those 10, 15 minutes to warm up if you just extend the call, but you would have to if you did a second call. That was my thought behind that.
Okay, fair enough. Anybody else have any thoughts on this?
This is James. It's just difficult to get time slots, get everyone's calendars to line up. So I think doing that twice a week is probably asking too much.
Okay. All right, then. The only thing I would say is that I just wonder whether we'll be able to achieve much more with a slightly longer call than we would be able to achieve otherwise, but that's just me being cynical.
Chris here.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Michele, we seem to be balanced 50-50 almost either way, aren't we, from what I heard? And as you've got, you're leading us, or you've got to lead us, then I think, you know, we could go with whichever you would feel most comfortable with.
Well, I would love to say I agree with that, but I also, the arguments on both sides are very compelling. One of the reasons I don't like either change is because I know people's timetables are very, very, very busy. I mean, on the other side to that is that I know that some of the working groups that people were active on have shut down, like the VI group is gone, and there's a couple of others that have kind of wound down a bit. So in terms of that side of workload, but of course, for most people, ICANN calls are not a secondary thing. They're not their primary focus. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, the only reason really for preferring the second call over the longer call is that often action points have been raised that somebody's going to go and do something or find something out. Obviously, they're not going to be able to do that during the call, but they could do that before the next call. I'm not that fussed either way.
Okay. Ollie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not actually that fussed either way between having the two calls or the one single call, but I think James made a good point in that it might well be tough to get everyone, you know, having the same time free. So perhaps should we look at, you know, has everyone got the same time free? If we have, then, okay, we can, you know, then say let's either do a second call or not. But if there's simply no time where everyone does have, you know, the same slot available, then it kind of answers the question for us.
That's very true as well. The one question I was going to ask is either Gisela or Marika might know, in terms of the GNSO calendar, how are the slots in terms of extending this call to 90 minutes or finding another slot? How is the calendar looking, ladies?
This is Marika. I think it's no problem to extend this call because I'm not aware that there are any other working groups scheduled directly after this one. And for other time slots, you know, we need, there's some standing calls that have set time, so you know, we could give some options for other times. Just, you know, just to note, I just had a quick look at a Doodle poll for the sub-team meeting, and interestingly enough, the most popular time at this stage is the hour directly following this hour. So for January, we might actually go for a two-hour call as a result of, you know, two teams meeting. But some people might want to drop off after the hour or shorter after that.
Okay. So far, then, it looks like the hour straight after this, extending this call would seem to be viable for most people.
At least for the first week of January for that call.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Right then, we need to make, since this is the last call before then, we probably need to make a decision on that fairly quickly. Marika, when do you need to know this, one way or the other?
I think we can decide that in January. I don't think there's any rush. I'm not aware of any other groups wanting the slot after this this meeting, so I think we're okay.
Okay.
Confirming.
So, does somebody want to get in there? No? Okay. Right then. Marika, could you put up, what have I got here, the survey results? Okay then. I would say if we can provisionally look at extending this call then to 90 minutes at the, for the first couple of weeks of January, then that should, and then if people want to drop off after 60 minutes, if they have other things that they need to do, then that might be the best way to move forward for the moment. Does anybody have any issues with doing it that way? So this kind of sub-team type thing becomes bundled into an extension of the call. Okay, so we'll work on that basis for the moment. Okay, then. Right. Has everybody... Oh, yes, Marika's just provided a link there to the calendar for 2011, so you can actually see what has been scheduled at the moment. January looks very quiet, Marika.
Yeah, it isn't working. I think for now it only has the council meetings in there, and I think one or two working group meetings. I don't think it has been updated yet with all the standing calls. Also, as some of the groups are still deciding when they will restart their meetings, but I'm guessing that will be done shortly.
Okay, perfect. All right then. Okay, so we've got Barry's spreadsheet, which is working on the survey poll that we did. So your homework, if you could, is just to go through that, and if you've got any questions or queries, if something's not clear, then post it to the list so that if Barry answers, then we all see that. And Barry's you're going to be sending out a slightly updated version of that later this afternoon, I believe. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, then. Now, just looking at the actual survey itself, as we discussed in Cartagena, there are some areas outside of the ETRP stuff where there is strong, what's the correct way of putting it, strong support, very little dissension. Where's this thing? Sorry, I'm trying to scroll this thing here. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think, according to my notes, I think we left off around question 18. I think that's when we got into the discussion of change of registrant versus transfer and the relationship between the two, and whether there should be a review that takes into account that the IRTP wasn't intended to approve a change of control, which is currently actually being used for, and according to some, might be cause of some of the issues. So I think that's where we finished our discussions, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, that's question 17/18, wasn't it?
Right.
Okay. We have question 18, recommendation 4. The working group does recognize the current language of denial reason number 6 is not clear and leaves room for interpretation, especially in relation to the term voluntarily, and recommends, therefore, that this language is expanded and clarified to tailor it more to explicitly address registrar-specific, i.e. non-EPP, locks, in order to make it clear that the registrant must give some form, sort of informed opt-in express consent to having such a lock applied, and the registrant must be able to have the lock removed upon reasonable notice and authentication. This denial reason could potentially be split into two reasons of registrant objection for denial: one, express objection to a particular transfer, and two, a general indefinite request to deny all transfer requests. The working group recommends that ICANN staff is asked to develop an implementation plan for community consideration, including proposed changes to the IRTP to reflect this recommendation. That was a bit of a mouthful. I think a couple of people were suggesting they're going to look at some of the wording of that, of denial reason number 6, but I'm not sure if that actually went any further than that. Trying to rack my brain to remember. This bounced back again to the entire about locks being applied at a registrar level with or without people's consent, etc., etc. Did anybody want to volunteer to have a look at the current wording there and suggest alternate wording? James?
Yes. And before you get too excited, I am not volunteering. I have just an observation here. Have we decided as a group that this language needs to be changed? I see 10, 3, and 1. So I guess, I don't know if Marika is best. We're proceeding on that from that position.
Marika?
Marika, I don't want to judge whether the working group agreed to proceed or not. I just wanted to point out that this was one of the issues that was also brought forward by ICANN Compliance and ICANN Legal as being unclear and reason for confusion among registrants. So this was also coming from a recommendation from their side to clarify that language, and I think some of the elements that are in here actually came from their side. So just to add that information.
Okay, then this is James speaking. I will go ahead and volunteer to help draft some options that either rewords this particular reason for denial, number 6, or divides it into 6A and 6B, something like that.
Should I just make one suggestion, just following on from what Marika was saying there? If we could possibly get some guidance from ICANN Legal/Compliance about what they are seeing as the source of the confusion, that might be helpful. So I'm going to give you something, concrete to work from, if that makes sense. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. What I can do is get together, because there were several emails circulated on this topic to the mailing list, providing that input. And I think I also did a recap of the discussion we actually had on one of the calls. So I can gather all that information together and send it out to the list, and then James can pick it up from there and look at that. I'm sure as well if James or anyone else wants to get input from ICANN Legal or Compliance or have a further discussion that shouldn't be an issue at all.
Okay, thank you, Marika. James? Okay, that's
yep.
James gone.
That's it. Okay. I just wanted to volunteer to. This is not a particularly sexy charter question, but it is important, and I will take it and run with it.
Okay. Right then. I don't know who that is, because they please mute themselves. Question number 20. Recommendation 5. The working group recommends that if a review of the UDRP is conducted in the near future, the issue of requiring the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings is taken into consideration. One person didn't agree with this idea. One person could have agreed if changes were made. The person who disagreed says that I do not see a debatable issue about locking domains that are subject to UDRP. The rules seem clear to me, and I'm not aware of instances indicating they are unclear, as opposed to instances of willful non-compliance with the policy by some registrars. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think this was an issue that was actually raised in one of the comments that was submitted by WIPO, and I think they basically outlined why the current language is confusing as it currently stands. So I'm happy to check who the person was that didn't agree, and maybe they don't agree with the arguments that WIPO was giving, but I think the recommendation itself followed from the working group's review of WIPO's concerns. And also an assessment that this doesn't really fit into the IRTP discussion, but would be relevant for any discussions on the UDRP itself.
Right. I mean, just this is Michele speaking. As a registrar, it is a bit confusing at the moment because you are notified of you are notified when a complaint to WIPO is submitted, usually by the complainant's legal team or whatever, but that's just it. But you don't get anything further until from WIPO for up to 48, 72 hours. So theoretically, there is a window of 48 to 72 hours where a transfer could be initiated. Unless I'm misunderstanding something in the policy here, which is possible. Does anybody have any strong feelings about this one way or the other?
McKelly, Chris here, just a question. So when would you apply the lot? Would you wait for the official WIPO notification?
Me, is that a question addressed to me specifically or in general?
You can answer either or both. I'm just curious.
Well, me personally, I've been struggling with this one because the policy isn't 100% clear. I mean, I actually raised the issue with ICANN staff because it wasn't 100% clear to me the first time we got one, you know, exactly what we were meant to do. I mean, it was clear what we were meant to do at certain points within a UDRP. So, for example, if a UDRP went all the way through to its logical conclusion and the conclusion was, you know, transfer the domain or delete the domain or whatever, fine, that's binding, that was clear. But other parts of it weren't 100% clear. There was a kind of a wishy-washy sort of, well, you'll kind of receive instructions from WIPO type scenario. So in practical terms, I think what we've seemed to have done is take the kind of very conservative view. I don't know what other registrars are doing. Marika, you have a hand up.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just note I quickly had a look at Barry's sheet, and the person who actually made the comment that, you know, I'm not seeing a debatable issue comes from Mike Ronenbach. And also to note that someone in 20 pointed out that there's actually a recommendation that's currently under consideration that was made by the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group to initiate a review of the UDRP. So in that sense, that, you know, if the group would agree with this recommendation, it would just feed into that process normally.
Okay. Do any of the other registrars on this call have any thoughts on this? James?
Yeah, just to point out that I think there was a lengthy discussion about this issue in one of the Who Is panels. I believe it was in the Sydney meeting. Maybe I can dig up a transcript or something of that, but there was a pretty lengthy discussion about the inconsistent application of this part of the policy with respect to UDRPs. Maybe that would be helpful.
Oh, that would be excellent, James. Thank you. What is the exact status of the RAP at this stage? Where's that at?
Yeah, this is Marika. Basically, they finished their work. There was an implementation drafting team that proposed an approach for the GNSO Council to deal with all the recommendations. So they basically, you know, ranked them in order of priority, perceived workload, complexity. And the GNSO Council is now going to look at that at their next meeting and decide on, you know, how to move forward and which issues they will move forward with first. And, you know, at the same time, it's important to know that, of course, it doesn't bind the Council to follow that order. For example, a review of the UDRP, any council member could put that forward as an issue and, you know, request an issues report. So it's but I think the review of the UDRP was ranked as issue number 4 on the priority list, to give you an idea.
Okay, thank you. So when's the next GNSO meeting? Is sometime in January, I assume.
This is Mark, I believe it's the 13th of January, and it's on the agenda for that.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving on to the next one there. Question 22. Oh, sorry, Barry, go ahead.
Yes, okay, I'd just add to that in terms of the RAP working group's recommendations, you know, they were tasked to try to prioritize, you know, how some of those recommendations would go off. And the UDRP review was certainly at the top. I think it was the top second or third one of those recommendations. So while we don't know the exact approval from the council, if they were to approve it tomorrow, as an example, you know, it would definitely be second or third off. So if I were to throw a thumb in the wind, I would think that sometime, you know, maybe by Q2, hopefully, that could get kicked off if the council did approve it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Barry. Okay, the number question 22, recommendation 6. The working group recommends standardizing and clarifying WHOIS status messages regarding registrar lock status. The goal of these changes is to clarify why the lock has been applied and how it can be changed. The working group recommends that ICANN staff is asked to develop an implementation plan for community consideration, which ensures that a technically feasible approach is developed to implement this recommendation. So of that one there, we have one person disagreeing, two who weren't pushed either one way or the other, and 11 who agreed. See if there are any extra comments. Now, the one of the comments is, again, this is down to a process where they're saying that, like number 19, IRTP working group should develop the plan, otherwise we're just kicking the issue to a future working group to debate. Another comment, there are numerous existing lock status available in WHOIS, many of which are not widely understood. More locks equals more confusion. A better approach might be education and outreach to define and communicate what the existing lock status messages mean now. Any thoughts or comments? Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. In relation to the first comment, personally, I actually saw this recommendation in a bit of a different light than some of the others, where you might want to suggest more specific wording or, you know, more the overall process, for example, in relation to ETRP. I saw this one more as, you know, the implementation of this is a very technical debate. And I'm wondering, indeed, if that's something the working group would like to work out, or if this is, you know, I'm sure as well if this would be passed over to staff. I presume we would need to get some technical experts to work out how the implementation of such a, you know, recommendation would work in practice. So personally, I saw this a bit as a different kind of approach than with the others, where, you know, the group might want to have more details as this to be more a technical implementation or implementation plan of how that could work. But, I mean, if members feel that they can work out those details, that's up to the working group, I guess.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Okay.
Yes, Chris here.
I tend to like the
I must admit, just reading it, I tend to like the educational one, and wondering whether we can, this recommendation could or should be split into two parts, incorporating both, incorporating the implementation and the education.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Marika. Can I add something on that one?
Please.
This actually follows on from a request that this working group made on the status values related to EPP, and I guess there's some of the locks related to that as well. And our communications department has actually developed a kind of grid that provides further explanation on each of these statuses, and as well, you know, what a registrar needs to do or who has initiated it. And I hope to share that shortly with the working group for your input. I've already sent it to a couple of people, you know, registries and registrars, to make sure that the technical aspects or the definitions are appropriate. But that is something that, you know, might fit that for the education. And I think the idea would be to get them posted on the ICANN website or the GNSO website, for example, on the section where we talk about IRTP and possibly, you know, if of course, there's interest from the registrar community or other groups, they could link to that as well, so that there's more information on what each of the status values mean and, you know, what can be done to undo them or put them on, basically.
Okay. Anything else on this? All right. 24 is referencing recommendation number 7. The working group recommends deleting denial reason number 7 as a valid reason for denial under section 3 of the IRTP, as it is technically not possible to initiate a transfer for a domain name that is locked and hence cannot be denied, making this denial reason obsolete. Instead, denial reason number 7 should be replaced by adding a new provision in a different section of the IRTP on when and how domains may be locked or unlocked. The working group recommends that ICANN staff is asked to develop an implementation plan for community consideration, including proposed changes to the IRTP to reflect this recommendation. And the comments on this, why can't this working group determine where, what text to insert in place of denial, reason number 7? Somebody else saying they do not see this as a pressing problem, and all draft alternative language seems to make the issue more confusing. Does anybody have any other thoughts on this? Simonetta?
I think it might actually be helpful to add a section in the policy that at least points you to where you can find out more about what the denial reasons mean and how you can lift a lock that's been placed. Because I think right now in the IRTP, there's nothing that points you to where can I find out about this. So I think that would actually be helpful to have.
So adding a link, say, to this text that Mariko was talking about would be helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you. Matt?
Thanks, Michele. I'd agree with that. The only thing that I'd caution on, and I think we've talked about this before on this working group, is that, you know, requiring that registrars spell out what's required to remove locks is kind of a dangerous precedent, and I wouldn't necessarily be supportive of that. I think, general information about what the locks are and generally how to remove them with registrars, you know, across the board is fine, but anything that would require registrars to specifically spell out how lock statuses are removed, I wouldn't necessarily be supportive of.
Okay. Just putting my own thoughts in. I would have to agree with Matt. If it's too specific, it could cause headaches. General is good. Getting specific, massive headaches all around. Simonetta, do you have anything to add, or is that hand?
No, I agree with that, but I think right now, unless you are really deep into this industry, you have no idea where to even start. So when it doesn't even spell out who you can speak to about something, that is where the problem is, I think, because right now you have no information where to even start with the process, and I agree that, like, giving all the details is probably not a good idea, but at least some information about what is a lock in the first place, because outside of this group of people, if you ask people on the street, they have never heard of this. So if you don't even know what it is and what you can do and who you can speak to about finding out what you can do, then you're really lost.
I don't disagree, Simonetta. Anybody else have any other thoughts on this? Okay. That's the end of the questionnaire, and it's nearly coming to the end of the hour, I think we should call it a day and call it a year. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a question about how to move forward. Because I think on issue C, I think James has volunteered to have a look at that and make some recommendations. On the other issues like D and E, there seems to be a majority agreeing with the approach suggested. There are a few that don't agree or have proposals to do it differently. How would you like to move forward? You know, should we reach out to those that didn't agree and ask them if they want to make an alternative proposal or suggestions, or if they decide not to, is that then the consensus recommendation? Or how would the group like to move forward on those specific issues as we now have? Go ahead.
Okay. Can't we put something in the report stating something that there was strong support for doing X? Though, and with some people who didn't agree with it, or however that is worded.
But it might make sense, I think, to check back with those people to say, do you really want it recorded as a minority viewpoint and as a disagreeable, or now that you're seeing, you know, the discussion we've had and the reasons why other people are supporting it, would you be willing to support it? So it might be worth checking back with those people on those items, because in most cases it's one or two people that said, I don't agree. So maybe it's worth checking and seeing if there's anything, you know, the working group can do to make them agree to the recommendation, or whether they really want to say, look, we want to record in the report that, you know, we have a minority viewpoint in this for, you know, these specific reasons.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts on this? I mean, I have an opinion on it, but does anybody else have any other thoughts on this? Marika, yeah, that makes sense to me. So I think, yeah, if just actually just asking those people specifically if that is, if after the discussions and everything else they still maintain that viewpoint, then we can just note it as such. But of course, yeah, they could possibly have changed their views in the meantime.
So and this is Rick, I'm happy to reach out then on those specific questions to those people that identified that they didn't agree to, you know, either, you know, make a different recommendation or, you know, record a minority viewpoint or say that they, in the end, they can't agree with the position that the working group wants to put forward. So I can take that action item.
Okay, thank you. Any other matters to be raised? Anything else? No.
We mentioned the ESSAC report earlier. Was that 40? Just to make sure I'm not confused, or was there a more recent one?
It's the more recent one.
44,
it's the one,
I think.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the 40. Which number was that, Matt?
I think it's 44.
44. Thanks.
Yeah.
They haven't actually published that many, so it's, I think 44 is probably the most recent one. But I'm sure that's easy enough to check.
I did forward the report as well to the mailing list, so people might want to check and find it. I can forward it again.
Okay, thank you, Marika. Okay then. So, speak to you all in 2011, and have a good Christmas. Chris, I hope you manage to get back to Spain sometime.
Unfortunately, I'm just a bit distracted the last 15 minutes, because I just had a text from BA, and my flight in the morning has just been cancelled, so it's looking like the 26th when I fly back now.
Oh, okay, sorry to hear that.
Never mind.
Sorry to hear that. I can't really think of anything to say to that, really.
It's such a white Christmas.
Yeah, well, it is a white Christmas. You'll have got an email from us about that already.
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to get out of Ireland. Is anybody else trying to travel over Christmas?
I am trying to fly for London.
Oh, good luck with that one. And here in Carlow, it is now snowing. I just stood up and it's all white outside again. I'm beginning to hate the snow. Okay then, everybody. I'll speak to some of you later this evening on another call, I believe. And the rest of you, have a good Christmas. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.